hoy.
No,
Then
okay,
I'm
a
gonna
mimic girl. A witchy girl.
just CP girl?
Yeah.
From CP Girl's Nest or just CP Girl?
No, I'll make a big, no, deep big go.
Done. So, Amanda, I'm introducing you as CP, from CP Girl, Amanda Fino, and new novelist.
Yeah.
Still, a published author.
What?
Should I
Yeah.
say published author? New.
Yeah, Bobby,
Okay.
oh,
Then
girl.
you talk about your book because that's your expertise, right? And then Tylia, I'm introducing you as Stomping on Cerebral Palsy, Tylia Flores. Is that right?
Yes, and I'm also a published author, too.
Yeah.
Another published author. Excellent, Tylia. I have to write it down for myself, right? Flores. Stomping.
You
But it was, what was that you just did? The mighty?
Yes.
How do I say that? Who
The
has
Mighty.
just.
It's just called The Mighty, and I'm a community leader for this site.
Excellent. That's it. Community leader for the mighty community leader.
A recording is on.
And published author.
Cool, that works.
Yeah.
Ready?
Ready.
Okay, cool. Well, my name is Cindy Evans, and I am part of a triple, Marie Watt, CP Venosi, and Aaron. Now, we are the real life of adults with cerebral palsy, and today we are celebrating Cerebral Palsy Day. And we're doing that by having a couple of really cool women on. CP gal Amanda Fino, who is a newly published author, and Tylia Flores, Stomping on Cerebral Palsy, who's a community leader for a website called The Mighty, and she is also a published author. Now, the real life of adults with cerebral palsy, me and Marie. I'll introduce myself, then Marie will introduce herself, and then the ladies will introduce themselves. So I'm Cindy Evans. I've done a couple of different degrees in sports science, mainly exercise science. And for the last 30 years, I've been training and conditioning adults with cerebral palsy. I'm on a mission because I want people with cerebral palsy to understand the physiological reactions associated with their cerebral palsy, which is the exhaustive and speed-dependent response to movement. Because I think once you understand what's happening when you speed up and when you slow down, it's much easier to train and exercise yourself, and exercise is such a great thing. Marie, I'd like to introduce Marie and she'll introduce herself, but we got together because we are both quite passionate about health and well-being being a way of positive outlook. So we started this to spread that word. So Marie, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, Marie Well, CP. Well, CP means workout with cerebral palsy. And like Sydney said, we got together because we have the same interests in adults with cerebral palsy, and we also have the same interests of working out when in the gym setting or in some kind of setting with cerebral palsy. So today we decided to take two other women from their groups and have a group chat about being positive with cerebral palsy and what we do to stay positive.
Can I say something then too? I forgot. Now, one of the reasons that we are really keen on talking to people like Amanda and Tylia is because traditionally with cerebral palsy, people, especially our adults, have been brought up in a medical system where everyone like who works with you kind of feels a bit sorry for you. Oh, we're trying to fix it. We're going to try and make us make you like somebody, which is unbelievable, you know. What we want people to see about our training, how do you stay positive? It is to love your body, to love how it moves. So you know how it moves and you learn how it moves, and then you can make it move well. The stick can move. Yeah, so that's just what I wanted to say. Anyway, now I want to introduce Amanda Fulmo, who I first met on Facebook through our website, who totally interested me because she was just about to publish her novel, and it isn't just one novel, is it? Amanda, over to you.
Yeah. I am about me and my life with TV, and it got TV girl.
Wow. So we're going to put your website and your web link onto our Real Life with Cerebral Palsy, so they can just go straight in and have a look at your books. And does it go straight onto Amazon as well?
Yeah. Yes.
Cool. So, Amanda, you actually chose the title of our podcast today, Staying Positive and Grateful with Cerebral Palsy. So tell us something you're grateful for.
I can put more new, more and my new year. It will be more for Kenka. Let me tell you, I used to be at the baby puppy.
You used to be? Say it one more time for me.
I used to eat my TV.
I never do that. Amanda's saying she used to hate her CP. Did anybody else have that?
Me.
I had that as a young teenager.
Hey, Amanda, I'm in my 20s.
How did you change that, Amanda?
Well, I moved away from my mom who was baby me. Me. And I'm not my dad, and he called me, you are TP, you need to, you know about your TP, and
yes.
He called me out TP.
So I would like you to do me a favor and write that out as well, because you know I understood a lot of it, Amanda, but as you get excited, of course you muscles get tighter and I have to really listen, and I'm a bit deaf because I'm 56 years old and I used to dance right next to the...
Whoa, girl, you look good for 56.
I know. So can I just summarize what I thought I saw, or does anyone, because what you're saying is you used to hate your cerebral palsy, then a pathway to...
You read my book. Dina, you read my book, remember?
Did you reread the books?
Yeah, Dina read that.
Oh, so I think you're saying your story about why you hated Your CP is all in your book?
Yeah. It's in, yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Gina, you're right.
I want that. That's what I want. I'll go get the summary and have a read. I have not read the book yet because...
No! Oh, yeah!
Ah, that's right. Cool. Who have you got? So, that's what this is about making sure because people will buy your book and there's a lot of people who want to buy your book and listen to the story and find out what yours. What were your strategies?
Yeah. I could be May I take a peek? We are working, but I feel go more bed, but I go, I will go with the speaker.
That's how you got into worked out CP girl. Okay. Fantastic. Because it's about telling your story. When you tell your story, then you share your strategies and then other people can actually go, oh, wow, maybe I could use that strategy. But is it okay to introduce Talia? Talia is our fourth person, and we were saying it's kind of hard when you got four people to make sure everyone gets a voice, but we'll kind of come back to everybody. And Talia Flores from Stomping on Cerebral Palsy, which I love that title. She's a community leader for The Mighty, and The Mighty was actually the first place where I met Marie. So
awesome!
Yeah, she read my first article that I wrote for The Mighty in... She liked it and Facebooked me.
That's cool. Talia, tell us about you.
So, my name's Talia Flores. I'm the author of James Ticking Time Bomb, and I have spastic cerebral palsy that affects my left side, more so my right. Through my grief after the death of my best friend Daniel, who had CP and a brain tumor, unfortunately, I started to write. I self-published the book at 16, and then after that I got into writing for The Mighty and the cerebral palsy community all together, and that's how Stomping on CP came to be about.
So tell me about Stomping on CP, because I love that title. What does it mean kind of?
it just means that we're just stomping on the obstacles that come our way, and we never let anything stop us. And I just
giant.
And I just thought it was a very cool name. And I wanted, because, like, my book is mainly about a young man with cancer. But as I'm getting older now and I'm maturing, I'm realizing that the CP community needs a voice. And I just decided to do it when I was 18 years old. And that's how I got connected with Maria and Amanda. And... I've just been a writer ever since.
Yeah. My experience is I've always worked, throughout my university degrees, I worked with elite athletes and I trained all these Australian level people and I ran it. And then as an aside, I worked in a gym for children who had disabilities. And when I went travelling, I started working with cerebral palsy. Now, I was really lucky because in New Zealand I got to get people out of institutions and build houses for them.
Yeah.
My job was interpreting the physiotherapy and the OT stuff so we could do it at home, and then I used to run exercise classes. And what happened from that? Before we started, you guys are not going to believe this because you are so young, there was no internet.
I will die.
I wrote my own computer program because that's how you had to do it.
I know what it was like before the internet.
I would die. Like, I need my Facebook. I need to communicate with
my
Amanda, you here of all of us would understand how amazing it is to be able to have a voice that people just listen to with straight up. It's very powerful, you know. Finding out
pathways.
Yes, thank you to Mark Zuckerberg and everybody.
Yeah, you're getting my anyway.
Let me put it to you this way. If it wasn't for Facebook, I would feel like I'm facing my battle alone.
And that is how I felt like before social media, because growing up in the 80s where neither Amanda or Talia were born in the 80s.
Why are you making me feel so young? I have an old
child.
Yeah,
you are young. 63.
I was born in Coonabally, Bridgetown on Australia Day, 1963.
I was born in the late 70s and raised in the 80s where no one understood CP, and I was the only person in my town with cerebral palsy, and it wasn't until the fourth grade when I met my fourth grade teacher, had been a high school teacher for maybe 10 years, but came down to the fourth grade to teach me because she had cerebral palsy herself.
I remember you telling me
that.
Why?
So from fourth grade to sixth grade, I had a teacher with cerebral palsy.
That's cool.
And
that'd be amazing.
In my life growing up, going to school with regular, with normal, able-bodied children, it was difficult in some respect because at school dances, my mom would have to come with me and stand on the wall just to make sure that I didn't trip or fall. I had a one-on-one aid where,
kind of makes, where, how do you get a friend when you've got this person always with you? Like, you look like you've already got one.
Exactly. And
you're leaving me a good okay, and bone oh, Yankee, bye,
So by the time I was in my 20s, I didn't want to deal with my CP anymore because I was known for my CP in my small town. So when I went to college, I kind of reinvented myself and took myself on the wrong path and didn't really acknowledge how hard it was to deal with life with CP. So it wasn't until my mid to late 30s that I accepted my cerebral palsy again.
Get on with it. Just ignore it. Just do it. It's not true. No, you have to understand what's happening in your body to take care of your body.
I agree with that. If I could tell you guys something a little bit about me is that I went to UCP and then I went to mainstream school. And that was hard being the only kid in mainstream classes in a wheelchair. But then when I got to middle school, they put me in the ESE program with all these different kids that had Down syndrome, ADHD, and I was like,
I saved places like that.
And I had a good teacher out of it. Her name was Ms. Van Horn, and she mentored me through the whole year. And I remember having trouble in science class because I had a mean science teacher, and I'm not going to say her name, but I was in the mainstream class for science class, and the lady was really mean to me. She didn't know how to deal with children with disabilities, so what Ms. Van Horn did was she took time out of her planning time to tutor me in science, and then I got, at the end of the year, I got an award for academic excellence in science, and to this day, me and Ms. Van Horn have always kept in touch. In fact,
I go Chico Lunay in the tunnel.
You have no idea how many teachers in my school education career that I had to fight with to get them to accept me in their classroom. You two are lucky because you two were born after the ADA Act. I know you had your struggles in school and with
teachers. How much more when you're considered not allowed to be there? Always, yeah. Marie would have been.
I know you're done.
I kind of feel what Maria feels because when I got to high school, that's when I feel like my local high school, like they wanted me to be in a category that I wasn't, and the teachers would be mean. Like every day I would come home from school crying, and Mom had to yank me out of public school and homeschool me because it just got too much. The worst.
So, like Marie, she had to fight, but actually sometimes I think it's so much better to do what your mum did, take you out of that terrible environment and bring you up in a positive and wonderful space, and look where you are.
After my book was published, I went back to the same school and handed the teacher that followed me into the bathroom and told me I was never going to be anything, and gave her a copy of my book.
I can't believe people would do that. Sorry, Amanda.
I'm not Orca and Imadamo. Yeah, Amaya. I want to go. Oh, yeah. I want a blue. I want red. My mom never believed me, and he was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare because people would not even listen to your whole sentence.
Your mom.
That must make it hard to. So you're saying that she didn't accept you?
Yeah, I remember one night she told me that she hated me when she found out that I had TB.
You know what? That's where writing your books has given you this different way of expressing yourself, so that actually People see you before they meet you, and that's never going to happen to you again, Amanda. And one of the things... How do we change those negative habits? We are the role models for change. Don't talk about what not to do. What the real life of adults with cerebral palsy wants to talk about is what can you do?
I've
got a question for Talia and then Marie first. Talia, what's a strategy that, you know, once you found a voice, like, you know, and you felt, you know, you decided to do the mighty, you didn't stop there. What did you do with your body? Tell us what did you do to make yourself love your body?
I just looked at myself in the mirror one day and I said, you know what? I'm tired of hiding behind a mask. I'm tired of being ashamed of my cerebral palsy. I'm going to wear shorts even if people see my scars. So it took a lot in me to say that I wanted to share my story, but one day I just told myself that. And ever since then, it's just been great.
And I love that you say you're tired of hiding behind a mask. Oh, you had to keep pretending that you didn't love yourself. Because you do, right? Exactly. So what I think this comes from is this attitude that so many people have that say, get over it. Get on with it.
Yeah. And I don't know, Sydney, I don't know if you're familiar with the term catfishing. A catfish. Like when you go online and you pretend to be somebody you're not. I was one of those when I was in my young teenage years. I was a catfish. I would go on sites and I would pretend to be somebody different. But as I got older, I realized I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, me too. My DP. Yeah. I want a guy to yawn me. I never tell Jay about my DP.
And there are people out there that love you for your mind, Amanda, and the more you get out there and spread that beautiful word that you're spreading, the more you're likely to find your husband. So
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, deep. I
just want to let Marie have a speak because we've only got 40 minutes and Marie hasn't said much, but I really, really, really want Marie to tell her story about how she learned to love her body and herself.
It wasn't much my body. I was okay when my body was my body. It was my mind, and I was, I was in my mind, I thought, oh my God, you know, I see someone with CP like Amanda, who maybe talks a little bit different, and I didn't want to hang out with her because I thought I would catch more CP from her or Talia. Like, I didn't want to be associated with a person in a wheelchair. And my discrimination became to the point where I didn't see myself as a person with cerebral palsy. And my story
wasn't about the wheelchair. It's more about not wanting to associate with the cerebral palsy because then you have to go, I've got it.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would associate with other people with disabilities because I was on the baseball team with people with totally different disabilities like Down syndrome and stuff.
Yeah, with that intellectual component, when you know that there is no intellectual component with cerebral palsy because it's a cerebellum, not the cerebellum. And the cerebellum is just a movement center. I come from, Marie, I got people out of hospitals. They were considered to be morons right up until 1983 down here in New Zealand. Institutions and considered not to be intellectually able to take care of themselves. And it took a great big, it took this one one person who was a social scientist to go in and just advocate for the change. And there's this beautiful movie called Annie's Coming Out. If you ever watch it, it's about the girl that changed that. Now, that was my era. I was so lucky. I got to get people out, you know, out of the hospitals, and all the nurses treated them like adults.
When I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, I didn't want to deal with that, so I decided to deal with the cerebral palsy. So I emailed the United Cerebral Palsy, and they had a group for adults, and I went and then I joined and found a lot of positive people with cerebral palsy, and one of them I got really close to and showed me a side of cerebral palsy I never saw before, and the person led me to Facebook to where I found the groups and pages on Facebook, and I was going on there asking a ton of questions, and people were just making fun of me and stuff on there, so saying that I should know this by now, I'm this age, or how come I've never been in a relationship? Well, by 2 months in or something, I decided to start my own group with stuff that I wanted to talk about, and everything went from there. And learning and talking to people with cerebral palsy has made me come out more by learning from them than I have taught them. Even though they say I taught them a lot, they taught me more than I taught them.
And that's not what we're going to talk about at the moment. What we're going to talk about is the fact that you didn't learn anything about your cerebral palsy as a child, and that's because nobody really knew anything about it. They didn't do any science on it until around the 1970s when they started doing dorsal rhizotomies, which is where they can stop the signal going back up so kids can walk better. So there wasn't a lot out there. So when I first started, you know, in the 1990s, late 80s and 1990s, I'd say, well, what is cerebral palsy? And they'd start talking about how they felt about themselves, like you sometimes, you know, but they couldn't tell me what's the physiological response happening in these muscles that's creating this effect, because there wasn't much study on it. And
I agree on that.
How much, Tyler, you're one of the youngest here, so tell us, what did people tell you about cerebral palsy when you were growing up? How did they explain that to you?
When I was growing up, people, like my mom explained it the best way she could. God made me special, but you're not different from everybody else. But doctors explained it to me in such a negative way.
And so I had to say.
Yeah.
Doctors just said nothing's going to help you. You're going to be confined for the rest of your life.
See, but what I want to know is,
are you need to be a home?
Just don't sit in a wheelchair and don't move and forget you've got a body. No, because when as exercise scientists, what do you want? You to train your body. Because, you know, there's so much joy in movement. And when you actually get in there and move that body like dancing. You know, if you just danced every day, you would have a different feeling about your body. And that's one strategy that I think is a really good proactive and positive strategy. Who cares what you look like when you dance? Nobody.
Exactly. I like doing the two-step.
Yeah.
My anyway, mood's going to the Tuesday, so.
Yeah, Marie likes weight training. Amanda, what sort of physical stuff do you do to give yourself a...
I like gym and walking.
Gym and what?
Gym and dancing around.
Do you do Tai Chi?
No, I need to do Mugi and then my ball.
Well, whatever you guys do, you do it slowly as you can because you've got a speed-dependent resistance. The faster you move, the more your spasticity hits in and the shorter your range. So when you're doing range stuff, that's why dancing's good, you know, Zen dancing, Tai Chi. Think about moving through the range. If you do that for 20 minutes a day, David Henning says that gives your whole brain an oil change and you push out positive hormones.
Really? That's
all you've got to try. Give yourself a 20-minute-a-day dance and see... Am I writing more positively today?
I'm going to take your advice.
Yeah, me too.
Scooby guys, we could go on forever and maybe we could do another.